Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Gimel, the third chapter of the book of Tehillim. This is a very important and very packed Mizmor. Let's take a look at it. In terms of looking at it from an overview and a structural point, it is made up of nine psukim and broken down in the following way. The first section, or the first point, is actually the opening sentence, and this introduces a new literary device which we've not met up till now, which is called a ketovet, which literally means the inscription or the heading, which gives us the context of this mizmor and tells us that this is a mizmor which was said when David was fleeing from his son Avshalom. Then the mizmor starts from psukim Beis to Gimel, in which David HaMelech describes his attack and onslaught from his enemies. Then psukim Dalad to Hey describe David HaMelech's trust in Hashem, and finally Vov to Tes are the numbers 6 to 9, focus on his request for salvation from Hashem. It's worthwhile noting in the overall structure that this mizmor is in the singular. So David HaMelech is describing this as a single individual under attack or under siege. And at the end of it, in the very last pasuk, is where he opens it up. He opens the scope, La'ashem ha'yeshu'al amecha bircha secha sela, that to you, Hashem, is our salvation for your nation. So he expands it to the national consciousness, even though at the beginning it was a personal tragedy or personal struggle that he was happening. In terms, still in the overview and structure section of analyzing this, in terms of viewing this as a continuation of the previous Mizmor, Mizmor Beis dealt with the attack of David from his enemies from all sides. And this is now about his being attacked by his son. So the Gemara in Brachos, Zayin Amud Beis, tells us that the structure of the Tehillim over here is not chronological necessarily, but in terms of climatic. And that is, as the Gemara says, that it is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Kasher tarbus ra'a b'soich b'soich shel adam yoser mimelchemes Gog u'Magog. It is more painful, it is more heart-rending for a person to have tzaras, to have pain in their house, than to be even fighting the apocalyptic war at the end of time. Meaning, that's why it is seen as a climax that Mizmor Beis deals with the wars around him outside, but inside his house was much more painful for David HaMelech, and that is why we move into this Mizmor. Let's move into the central themes. Those themes are pretty simple and consistent, and that is a person who is being persecuted, and in that persecution, he finds salvation in Hashem. It is worthwhile to note that in the persecution, there's two stages of persecution, as the Malbim points out. One is practical persecution, meaning to say Avshalom is usurping the throne of his father. But there is also a loss of meaning, a theological persecution. And these are the people who believe that David HaMelech was not entitled to the throne. They believe that David HaMelech was a usurper from the throne of Shaul HaMelech. They believe David HaMelech was a sinner. They believe that his being chased away was in fact a divine rectification for his sin with Bathsheba. All these things are being accumulated into David HaMelech's challenge, not just for physical existence, but also for theological standing, which David HaMelech is talking about, and the salvation he still sees in Hashem through this. In terms of the events, moving into our third step we always go through in a Mizmor, we've looked at the structure, we've looked at some of the central themes. Now in terms of actual events that are behind this Mizmor, well, it's pretty simple because we are gifted with a kotevet, so we are gifted with an inscription to this Mizmor, so it tells us the specific event that is referred to, and we can actually track it down to a very specific pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Beis. And just to give you a sense of what is going on for those who are not well-versed at this point with Shmuel Beis, David HaMelech is king, and he has a son whose name is, his firstborn is Amnon, and Amnon ultimately rapes his half-sister Tamar. Tamar is the sister of Avshalom. Avshalom, and David HaMelech does not do anything to reprimand Amnon, his oldest son. Avshalom, seeking the rectitude that David HaMelech has not done, goes off and kills Amnon, David HaMelech's oldest son, and this ensues in a terrible standoff between David HaMelech and Avshalom. David HaMelech ultimately does welcome Avshalom back, but there's this tension. David HaMelech does not speak to him, does not greet him, and Avshalom takes power. He garners support in Yerushalayim. He takes people away from the court of David and ultimately amasses an army and creates a revolution against his father David. David HaMelech is now sitting in Yerushalayim with the oncoming, approaching army of Avshalom, and in Perek Tesvav of Shmuel Beis, he turns to his people and he said to them, he says, Kumu v'nivracha Let us flee, ki loy tiye lonu pleita mipnei Avshalom. Maru lo leches penyim aher, visigonu v'yidiach oleinu esar avi koha ir lefi cherev. He says, let us leave now, so that we do not have to fight a bloody battle in Yerushalayim, that there won't be so many people, there won't be so much carnage, people will not be killed unnecessarily. So the tragedy is not only David HaMelech being hunted by his own son, but it is the fact that he's not sticking with the emes now. He is not sticking about what is true. He is doing what is best in the best interest of the people and Shalom, and therefore he actually abdicates his position. He leaves the seat of Yerushalayim. He leaves his wives there in order to preserve the people, and there should not be a battle between father and son on the ramparts of Yerushalayim. It is interesting to notice, just historically speaking, that there today you can actually go and visit Yad Avshalom. You can visit the tomb which is attributed to Avshalom. It is just down, if you go into Har HaZeisim, just down the hill from going out of Shaar HaAshpot in the Old City. It's a large tomb. It's the one on the left-hand side. The one on the right is Zechariah HaKohen, who's buried there. And there's a legend that the top of it was knocked off. It used to have a fist carved into stone on the top of it, and it was knocked off by Napoleon when he arrived in the Middle East and he heard the story about a son rebelling against his father. It is generally assumed that that is apocryphal. It's really actually supposed to be a monument of a lotus flower on the top. Be it as it may. It is also worthwhile noticing that the tragedy over here is not just the fact that David HaMelech is fleeing from his own son, but ultimately it is also the fact that David HaMelech's emotions about his son are complex. On the one hand, he's being hunted by him. On the other hand, it's his son. And that's why when Avshalom ultimately is killed by David's general, Yoav, later on, David HaMelech is beside himself. And if you listen to the Psukim in Perek Yud Tes in Shmuel Beis, he goes, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni, Avshalom, mi yitein musi ani tachtecho, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. He says, Avshalom, I should have been in your place. My son, I wish you hadn't been killed. And he carries on. And he says, V'yizak HaMelech kol gadol, B'ni, Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. He's distraught when Avshalom's killed, even though Avshalom was seeking to kill him. It's a complex relationship. In fact, Rashi comments, quoting Chazal, that he says the word B'ni seven times, my son seven times, to take Avshalom out of the seven Madurei Gehinnom, out of the seven levels of Gehinnom. Now, this is not Chas V'Shalom like Christianity, where one person can take away the sins of other people. A friend of mine, Rabbi Menachem Rosenbaum, once commented that David Melech was realizing in himself that perhaps he's not giving the affection, not giving the respect that Avshalom felt he needed, was what created the monster who ultimately hunted his father. David HaMelech was taking responsibility for his fathering of this person who became this person because of his own failings. And that's what he was doing in terms of realizing how Avshalom became Avshalom. So when David HaMelech says this mizmor, on the one hand, it is painful that it's his son. On the other hand, we should also remember that it's his son. It's ultimately his son. And that's part of the pain that goes into this mizmor. Let's go into the fourth point of focus today, and that is, where is this mizmor appearing outside of Tehillim? So this is the first one that we actually see it does appear specifically, and that is that this paragraph is used in Kriyas Shema Alamita. When you get to just after you say the first paragraph of Kriyas Shema V'hi Noam, the next paragraph is Hashem Marabu Tzarai. That is exactly this mizmor, and the interesting thing is that in the Siddur, we take out the Kotevet, we take out the first Pasuk, attributing it to a specific event. And part of what the Siddur does, and we'll see this again and again, is that the Siddur broadens it even further. David HaMelech was certainly responding to an event in his house, and he broadened it to give us space in that event. But at the same time, the Siddur sort of even divorces it further from the event, allowing it to be all of our sieges, all of our pains in our lives, that we turn to Hashem at the end of the day, and we channel the same emotions into it. Finally, just psukim in the spotlight over here as we close today's mizmor. It is worthwhile that there's two new terms that are worthwhile learning about and appreciating today. One is the actual first word of this section, which is called mizmor. What is the word mizmor? It is generally understood to be a song. And if that's true, the Gemara asks in Brachos, what is the song over here? Why is David HaMelech singing? He should be crying. His son is hunting him. What is this? What is the song of here? Kina le David mi bayale, the Gemara says. It should have been a lamentation. And the Gemara answers by saying yes. David HaMelech was given a prophecy after the sin of Bathsheba that Hashem said he was going to establish an evil from David HaMelech from his own house. Something in his own house would hurt him terribly. And David HaMelech never knew what that would be. He was scared that maybe it would be a slave, a household slave would rebel and hurt him and his family terribly. When he saw it was his own son, there was a sense of relief that it was ultimately only his son who would have certain boundaries at least. Avshalom broke a lot of boundaries, but at least there would be certain boundaries. So at the same time as there being fear, there's also a sense of relief, which might be the mizmor aspect, the song aspect of this. The Radak says that's all fine, But maybe al derech hapshat, the word mizmor doesn't indicate happiness, but is simply an inscription which was added later to describe words and poetry and song which was sung in the Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech did not pen it as Mizmor LeDavid. This was not, you know, David HaMelech saying, I'm singing about this. David HaMelech penned the actual pain, the words, the trust, the call. But ultimately, later on, it was nominated to be a Mizmor because it was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Another word you'll see appear in this Mizmor three times is the word Selah. Selah is very hard to translate. What the Malbim says over here is that it differentiates each of the three sections of this Mizmor, and we'll see this numerous, numerous times in Tehillim. It's almost as if a reflection or inflection point in the Tehillim, dividing the point of description of the tragedy, a trust in Hashem, and closing with the request from Hashem in the future. Last pasuk just to focus on is pasuk Vav, which is really strange. It says, "Ani shachavti vo'ishana." I went to sleep and I lay down to sleep. Hekitzoisi ki Hashem yismacheni, and I woke up because Hashem was supporting me. Obviously, this relates to Kriyas Shema Lamita, which is when a person says this. But isn't this strange? Usually, you say if you're in a sense of safety and security, you sleep longer. Why is David HaMelech being woken up? Because of his trust in Hashem. So the Malbim says it relates specifically to the event when he was being chased by his son Avshalom. And that is that when David HaMelech ran from Yerushalayim, Achitofel advised Avshalom to run after David HaMelech right now and capture him before he can get across the Jordan in the easterly direction. And Hushai HaArki, who was one of David HaMelech's insiders, said to Avshalom, no, wait for your full army, amass the troops, and then you'll go after him. And sent a message to David to get across the river. So the David HaMelech got the message in the middle of the night, was woken up, and because he was woken up, was able to get east across the Jordan River and get to safety. And therefore, David HaMelech is relating to that event. Hashem, sometimes you wake me up in the middle of my nights, but it's to save me. Sometimes, Hashem, you wake us up in life and you give us turmoil, but it's ultimately to save us. That is what David HaMelech is memorializing in this Mizmor. With this, it closes the Mizmor. I hope everybody has a wonderful and meaningful day.